really good to be able to read that at the end, and to read Moshe's the song in the Torah today. So today I'm going to speak on Shabbat Shuva. So let us pray. Abba Father, I pray that you will open our eyes so that we can see wondrous strings from your word this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable to you in your presence, Abba Father. And we ask this because you are my rock and my redeemer. I ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. So, Ha'azinu is hear Yehovah's word. And Shabbat Shuva, as I said, is the first Shabbat of this after Yom Teruah, and it's the Shabbat of return, where we are to make a fresh start and return to our first love. On this Shabbat, we try to live out all the prayers and promises that we expressed to ourselves on Yom Teruah, the day of the sounding of the trumpet. The model is the kind of Shabbat we hope to celebrate right throughout the year. Now, I know that things were expected on today, and the world was coming to an end today, and all of that sort of stuff, but I'm still here.
Yeah, me too.
I believe that those watching online are still here. And so it's a wake-up call to a lot of people in respect that if we obey Yah's word and we follow according to his Torah, we've got nothing to worry about, nothing to be concerned about. All of these people saying that the world was going to end and things were going to happen on the 23rd of September, they've probably been living in fear. And are they in the right place? Do they need to be in Israel? Do they need to be here? Do they need to be there? It's a lot of rubbish. Because you see, only Yah knows the time and the place when Yeshua will return. And so we have to make sure that we are ready.
Amen.
Spiritually and physically, every single day, every single Shabbat. Peggy, are you cold? Are you cold? Are you okay? Do you want the air conditioning turned off? You all right? Okay. Let us know if you get cold, because we can turn one of the air conditionings off. So, I believe that each of us, that each time we restart our Torah readings, and we've only got one left to do, Yah is calling us to a new level of holiness. And I say this every year, I know, but what is your desire as a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach? Do you just want to sit each Shabbat in your seats and be fed like a child is and spoon-fed? Or do you want to serve your Yehovah with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, like we pray in the Shema every week? And as Yah asks of each one of us. My desire is come to a point where I have emptied out all of my own will so that I will only do what Yah wants me to do. This is what is important. To only do what Yah wants us to do. Even Yeshua said, not my will, but Jehovah, not my will, Jehovah, but yours be done. We have to make sure that we are doing his will and not ours. Do you want to see scriptures fulfilled that says that all Israel will be saved? I know that I do. And that's the whole 12 tribes. That's not talking about Yehuda. That's talking about the whole 12 tribes. All coming back to the roots of Torah observance. This is what we have to aim for. My desire is to see the synagogues of this city become messianic synagogues. I'm not too sure that I will see it in my lifetime, but that's my desire. My heart cries for the lost of the Jewish community in this city, and the lost for the Jewish community full stop, who are at this moment voting yes for same-sex marriage or for marriage equality. They are not voting against it when Torah says it's an abomination.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people out there, including all of my family, that don't understand that they have to observe Torah and not the rabbinical movement of Judaism today. I want them to be set free from their bondages, set free from rabbinical law, and be free to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. This can only happen as we repent of sins, both our own and generational, which have brought bondages into our lives that we have absolutely no control over. And from the first words of our readings today, it said in Devarim, if we go to slide 2 please, 32 verse 1 and 2, "Hear, O heavens, as I speak. Listen, earth, to the words of my mouth. May my teachings fall like rain. May my speech condense like dew, the light rain on blades of grass, or showers growing on plants." The Torah is full of wonderful passages about the goodness of Yehovah and the loving mercy that he freely lavishes on his children. But the Torah is also balanced. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that within the Torah, there is also the record of men's failures and lack of discernment, where the things of Yah are concerned. As faulty humans, we sometimes miss the mark of Yah, which is sinning, on the simplest level. As Sean said last week, you know, missing the mark is actually being disobedient to Torah. We should accept the rebuke and correction that we consequently receive from our Heavenly Father, confess our sins, and seek to be transformed according to his word to bring us back on course when we stray from his loving hand. Today's reading from the Torah was one chapter long, and scholars have noticed that the format of this particular parasha follows a particular pattern, different to most passages. In modern writing, it could be likened to a legal agreement that a master and a servant would make. It details the stipulations of what will happen to the servant if he fails to obey the commands of Yehovah. In ancient extra-biblical writings, the type of relationship is called a suzerain, which means master, and vassal, which means servant. It is not entirely unlike the blessings and the curses that we read earlier in Devarim chapters 27 to 30. Like the previous mentioned chapters, the bulk of material provided for us is in the form of chastisement and punishment. Why, you might ask? Does Yah seem to be constantly emphasizing our shortcomings? Is he so upset how we will fail him that he fails to see the good in us? In the case of the Hebrew people, was he so positive that they would forsake him and follow after false gods that he needed to stand poised like an executioner, ready to bring down his blade in swift punishment? As much as this may seem to be the case, fortunately for our sake, it is not true. Our Heavenly Father is a God of undeserved mercy and loving compassion. Moshe predicted accurately and expected Am Israel, the people of Israel, would fall easily into gross idolatry. They had shown that to him during those 40 years in the wilderness. It is simply amazing that he didn't give up on them. The unexpected response from Yahs culminates in Deuteronomy 32:43 in slide 3. When he says, "Sing out, you nations, about his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will render vengeance to his adversaries and make atonement for the land of his people." He knew they were going to do wrong, but he was still prepared to stick by them. And that promise is in operation today. Yah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never go back on his word. So it doesn't matter what the Jewish and the rabbinical people are thinking and doing at the moment in against Torah, they are still part of Am Israel. They are still his people, and his promises are still true. So let's see what Torah has to teach us about the goodness of Yah's nature. If I was to conduct a paraphrased verse-by-verse overview, it would read something like this. Moshe proclaims up front the greatness of their God, or Yehovah, in verses 3 to 4. But within the people themselves lies defect, according to verses 5 and 6. Yah then takes unto himself these undeserving people group in verses 7 to 11. And he alone provides for all their needs, according to verses 12 to 14. But in verses 15 to 18, sin through greed and lust overtake Israel. Then in verses 19 to 25, he administers fatherly correction to woo them back. He again recognizes their defects and compares them to their enemies in verses 28 to 33. So when Yah's judgment consequently comes upon those who hate him, his own people begin to consider him once again as the only source of all sustenance in verses 34 to 42. This righteous judgment from Yehovah's elicits a proclamation from Moshe to the nations in verse 43. So as we can see, far from being cruel and unmerciful, our loving Father desires to maintain a loving, lasting relationship with his children. The Torah clearly states that the problem is not found within Yehovah or his righteous ways. Rather, the problem lies within us. And this is repeated in New Covenant scriptures, especially in the book of Messianic Jews or Hebrews. Can we go there, please, in slide 4? In chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Indeed, if the first covenant had not given ground for fault finding, there would have been no need for a second one. For Elohim does find fault with the people when he says, 'See, the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will establish over the house of Israel and over the house of Yehuda a new covenant.' The new covenant was necessary because of the fault that was within the people, the children of Israel. In fact, it is the same one that is within them today and is within us. We have an inherited defect. We were actually born with it, and it causes us to lack wisdom. This lack of wisdom, especially to Yehovah's ways, brings us into conflict with his holiness. And because of this conflict, we are left feeling hopeless to reach the goal that Torah outlines for us. So what is the goal? Without Torah, there is no recognition of sin. So the goal of Torah is that we are to be holy as Yah is holy. In our utter desperation, we have no choice but to concede that Yah alone can make the necessary corrections of our own sinful makeup. Only Yah can heal us of what our sins are. And we have to be honest and open and admit them to him. This correction is sometimes defined in the judgment of Yehovah. And we know we will be judged by him one day. As children of an all-loving Yah, we must realize that sin is unacceptable to him. His righteous standards demand that a price must be paid in order to, as a child might say, make the sin go away. Sometimes we don't think of it in terms like that, but that is essentially what happens when appropriation for sin is made. Yah sees the sacrifice instead of the sin, and the punish is meted out on the substitute, who was Yeshua and is Yeshua. Am Yisrael, the people of Israel's prostitutional type attitude towards alien gods, demanded a righteous verdict on the part of their covenant partner, which is Yehovah. It has been stated that Yehovah blesses Israel directly. He uses the nations of the world to punish her indirectly. And we can see changes happening within the Arab nations at this very moment. To an extent, this is what is precisely is happening in this chapter that we've just read, as Yah seeks to win back the affection of his children from idolatry through the use of a non-people. In verse 21, he says, I will arouse their jealousy with a non-people and provoke them with a vile nation. You might say, I don't practice idolatry. I'm not at all like the Hebrew nation that I read about in the Torah. I follow Yeshua and his ways. I love him, and I would never consider falling into gross disobedience like some other people have done. Maybe you're thinking, how does any of what I am telling you apply to you practically? Their answer is this. I believe that the Torah teaches us that as believers, both Jew and Gentile, we all constitute the community of the set-apart ones, where Hasatan is Lord over the sinful man. To use the vernacular, we're all in this together. The time of viewing the body of Yeshua as a disconnected unit with two families, one of the church and the other of the synagogue, is coming to an end. We mightn't see it in our own personal families. We mightn't see it in the world today, especially when they're praying against Torah. But Yah still has his hand on his people. And therefore, things will change. I don't know when. You don't know when. Only the Father knows. No one else can even attempt to tell us when it's going to happen. But it is going to happen. Actually, it should never ever have happened in the first place for there to be two separate peoples. When Yeshua came, he came to bring people back to Torah and the Gentiles to Torah. Because you see, it doesn't matter what sin you commit, it can only be measured against Torah. It can't be measured against the laws of the land. It can't be measured against any country's rules. It's only measured against Torah. Nothing else. Christians have never had a problem identifying with Israel when it comes to the blessings. But when they see the hand of Yah in their punishment, they often turn a deaf ear to their cries. Yeshua was our great sacrifice. He taught us to have genuine, heartfelt love for one another, and that in this way, all over the world would know that we are his. Yes, it is more difficult today with the Muslim community wanting to annihilate anyone that won't bow the knee to Allah. What is really surprising is that when you look at Yah's name in its original text, in where it was originally written, the singular for of Yehovah or Elohim is Eloha. And if you say that in any Semitic language, that's this is Eloha is a Semitic language, but if you say it in Arabic or Hebrew, that Eloha is Allah. Same word. But their concept of Eloha is different to our concept, because they're following the word not of Torah, but they're following the words of Muhammad. And they've set him up as being Eloha. That's where they've fallen short. Yet we do know that each and every one of those peoples is an ancestor of Abraham. They are still ancestors of Abraham. Can we go to slide 5, please, in Romans 11, 25 to 27. For brothers, I want you to understand this truth, which Elohim formerly concealed, but is now revealed, so that you won't imagine you know more than you actually do. It is the stoniness to a degree that has come upon Israel until the Gentile world enters into its fullness, and that it is in this way that all Israel will be saved. As the Tanakh says, out of Zion will come the Redeemer. He will turn away ungodliness or unrighteousness from Yaakov, and this will be my covenant with them, and when I take away their sins. This to me speaks about the time when Yehovah will finally look upon Israel as a sin-free nation. I'm not speaking about the man-made state of Israel. I'm speaking about the 12 tribes and the 12 people, the people of the 12 tribes. The context of this chapter deals with the Gentile participation of that final atonement. Although it is true that Yeshua has already made provision for their sins to be atoned for, corporately, as a nation, Israel haven't yet realized it. If you are a Gentile believer, you can play an active part in helping the Jews recognize their need for the Messiah Yeshua. All you have to do is seek the guidance of the Ruach HaKodesh carefully in prayer. Find out how your genuine love for these people can be effectively communicated to them personally. Remember, at this time of year, many Jews worldwide are genuinely seeking forgiveness. They are in the part of the 10 days of awe, and they have the 10 days of complete repentance. That's where they should be. If they are truly in repentance, then you will have the opportunity to be able to speak to them, and they will listen. If they're not following Torah and they're not in repentance, well, they'll still have stony hearts. We have to get them to a stage where they no longer have hearts of stone. Also, remember that when they pray, they don't pray to Yehovah, they don't pray to Elohim, they don't use Yod Hey Vav Hey, they speak to him as Hashem. So if you want to truly speak to them and acknowledge them, it doesn't hurt to use Hashem to get on their level. And it's really important that you get on their level. Otherwise, they will just toss you aside. They won't want to hear. They won't want to know. And it's often very hard for them to realize that you, that they would think as a Christian, that would follow Torah, that would have any idea of what these days are about, would observe Yom Kippur, would observe Sukkot. They don't see that. And if they do, they see you probably as Seventh-day Adventists and think that you've got other things wrong as well. So we have to be very humble and come to them on their terms. Yehovah has already provided the forgiveness they seek in the person and the work of the greatest person of Yehuda who ever lived, and that is Yeshua HaMashiach. We as believers need to recognize the importance of our active involvement in the corporate salvation process so that we don't become too blind to our own sins. We also need to search within ourselves and determine to completely drive out any root of error that has sprung up in teaching over the last 2,000 years or so. And yes, even the believer, every believer needs the mercy of Yah as never needed before. If we fail to recognize our need for his cleansing judgment, we may find ourselves wondering, like so many Jewish people do today, especially after the terrorist attacks that have been happening worldwide on a more regular basis than ever before. Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, and that's what's happened. Even Australians have been caught up in these attacks and been killed. And they were good people, a six-year-old boy, nothing, you know, he's not a bad person. Yet he was killed. But we have no control over that. Yah knows the day we are to be born and the day we are to die for each individual. Yes, we can be more diligent and watch what we eat and make sure that we're treating our own bodies properly, because we've got to remember that our bodies are a tabernacle of the Ruach HaKodesh. Amen. And therefore we have to treat it properly and eat properly and not be go overboard with wrong types of foods and alcohol and drugs and things like that. We can't do that to our bodies. But if we are doing the best we can do in the way we eat and the way we behave and the way we conduct ourselves, then Yah is going to give us the length of years that he wants us to have. We can't change it. Some beautiful young people die far too early in life. I've seen too many. But the only thing I've been able to say to the parents during that time is that we don't know, knowing full well that they've gone to be with Yah, we don't know what was ahead of them in the future. Young 15-year-old could fall off the rails at 19 or 18, and then something worse could have happened. At least we know that they're with Yah. A young 6-year-old could have ended up turning into a Muslim radicalist by the time he reached 16 or 17. We don't know why Yah takes them, but he takes them for a reason. I mean, I lost 2 grandchildren within 2 weeks of their birth. Yah is in control. He knows why he took them home. We know they were raised on Yeshua's knees. We don't have a problem with it. Yah is in control. And we have to allow him to, but we have to live our lives the best we can while we are here on this earth. Bad things do happen to good people. Can we go to slide 6, please, in Kepher Aleph on 1 Peter 4:17 to 19. For the time has come for the judgment to begin. I think we're already in it. It begins with the household of Elohim, and it starts with us. What will the outcome for those who are disobeying? What will be the outcome for? I'll have a look at that again. What will the outcome be for those who are disobeying Elohim's good news? If the righteous is barely delivered, where will the unrighteous and sinful end up? Let those who are suffering according to Elohim's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator by continuing to do what is good. If things aren't going your way, don't give up, because Yah's hand is in it. It's a time of testing. It's a time of growing. And the answer to that question might be found in Devarim 32:51 on slide 7. And that is, you fail to demonstrate my holiness there among the people of Israel. I believe that this reading that we did today is in Yehovah's perfect timing. He has called each and every one of us to a higher level of holiness. His word is telling us that we fail to demonstrate that holiness to our non-messianic Jewish brothers and sisters. And what are we going to do about it? Do you want to stay in your comfort zone and do nothing? Or do you want to spend these next 7 days leading up to Yom Kippur in a state of repentance? We can repent of complacency. We can seek the presence of Yah on a daily basis so that your face will shine with his glory as Moshe's did when he came down the mountain and was shining to all the people in his fierce influence when the 10 words were given to him. As I said earlier this morning, next weekend is Yom Kippur. We'll be holding 2 services here on Shabbat and having a rest day on Sunday, as we cannot get into these rooms because they're being run by our Christian church. So let us spend this coming week in contemplation and reflection of how we have grown in Yah over the weekend, over the previous year. Repent, if necessary, for our complacency or lack of obedience in any way, so that we can come next week to bring ourselves to a new place of holiness in Yah. So that's all I've got to say on that, and we will go back to the remembrance service.